Good morning and welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. It definitely is the dog days of summer. Hot and humid. Woo. But it's been a good summer. Praise God. Our sermon message today will be taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And I titled this message, In Christ. So let us read that. If you have a Bible, please turn there. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. In Christ, this tiny two-word phrase contains all the comfort, security, peace, and hope that a Christian could ever need. It is the key that unlocks the New Testament's teaching on the blessings and the benefits of salvation. And once you start looking for it, you're going to find it all over the place in the Word of God. In Christ or its variations, such as in Him and in the Lord, occurs more than 150 times in the New Testament. It is the Apostle Paul's favorite way of describing our redeemed status, and if you allow it to, it's a phrase that will definitely shape your identity. But by identity, I mean the way that you see yourself and how you live in light of it. Of course, the most important thing isn't how we see ourselves, but how God sees us. In fact, the Christian's aim is to conform to the Lord's perspective, to God's perspective. We want to share God's view in all things, including what He has to say about our personal identity. My friends, we live in an individualistic age, and this one, such as our own, is becoming increasingly difficult. The world is suggesting subjective and plastic answers to those big questions in life, and I don't mean plastic surgery or Botox. But big questions in life, such as, who am I? And what am I here for? But in response to the modern and muddled I identity as a way of thinking, we must assert a definitive, my identity is mindset informed by the scriptures. Amen? Amen. And here is why this two-word phrase comes into play in Christ. The scriptures attest over and over that God views or considers the believer as being in Christ. When we understand, believe, and live out what God says is true of us in Christ, we will find objective, unshakable answers to those big questions in life. We will find a true, pure, and satisfying identity, one that isn't found in us at all, actually, but is found in the person of Jesus Christ. Our union with Christ. And before we unpack exactly what it is that is true of us in Christ, we should ask, how is it true of us? How can God view us through the lens of the person and work of Christ? How can Christ's accomplishments be credited to us? The answer is found in our union with Christ, a mysterious work of the Holy Spirit. As the Apostle Paul John writes in 1 John 4:13, by this we know that we abide in Him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. My friends, it's a profound reality. Through Spirit-wrought faith, all that is true of Christ, even Christ himself, comes to us. We are so united to Christ that there is actually a mutual indwelling in us. He in us and we in him. The French theologian John Calvin, in his comments on Ephesians 3:16, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, he made this jubilant observation. He said, "What a remarkable commendation is here bestowed on faith, that by means of it, the Son of God becomes our own and makes his abode with us." By faith, we not only acknowledge that Christ suffered and rose from the dead on our account, but accepting the offers which he makes of himself, we possess and enjoy him as our Savior. The Christian actually possesses Christ and all his benefits to be united to Christ. Therefore, is the sum and substance of our salvation. Believers live in Christ the way a fish lives in water or a bird in the air. We have no life apart from being in Christ. Colossians 3:4. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Admittedly, our union might not feel as natural as that. At times, the Christ in whom we live and move, have our being, feels distant. Our objective union in him is not met with an equally fervent communion with him. My friends, when that happens, we search meaning and build identities on things other than Christ. Career, fame, sexual expression, our children, all things that will leave us empty if we try to find ultimate meaning in them. And to quote Calvin again, our whole salvation in all of its parts are comprehended in Christ. We should therefore take care not to derive the least portion of it from anywhere else. And in Christ identity. This means that for a lasting identity, we need to return to the sufficiency of our Savior, basking in the truth that all he is for his people. There is nothing that I need that I don't have in Christ. The In Christ Declaration preaches that truth. It teaches that Jesus is not just a figure whom I read about in history, but a person in whom I actually participate. Or put another way, in telling me what Jesus did for me, the gospel also tells me who I am in him. It gives me my identity. So what sort of identity does a Christian have? So let us look at four glorious truths about the believer's identity in Christ. We're going to go over four of them. Number one, in Christ I am loved. My friends, it's really sad. Many people today, they spend their entire lives searching for love. But the scripture is flipped for the Christians. Love searches for us. Paul writes in the breathtaking introduction to Ephesians that God chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us. The scriptures portray God as making a choice, motivated by love. He chose a particular people. And what made them worthy of such an honor? Nothing. Nothing. Indeed, the elect are as fallen as the reprobate. There is nothing inherent in any one of us that would catch God's eye or draw him to us. And long ago, Israel learned the same lesson. The Lord did not set his love on you, nor chose you, because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all peoples. But because the Lord loves you. Deuteronomy 7, 7 through 8. It is love that moves God to enter into a special relationship with his people. But notice that Paul says that God made this loving choice in him, that is, in Christ. Even as God contemplated us in eternity, he did so in Christ. God was thinking of us, not in and of ourselves, and certainly not in of our sin, but truly in and of his Son. We are in his Son in the sense that we were the people whom the Son promised to come and save. Even before the world was made, the plan was set that the Son would come to earth to represent us, to die for us, to redeem us. God loves us because of all that his Son is for us. In Christ, we are loved by God with an everlasting, never-failing love, because everything worthy of love in Christ is everlasting and never-failing. The thing that many people seek and never find has found us in the love of Christ. True love by which God made us accepted in the beloved. Ephesians 1:6. Our second glorious truth. In Christ, I am forgiven. Our in Christ identity is also formed by this declaration. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. It's being in Christ that alone frees us from the prison of sin, death, and hell. When Christ stepped out of the grave, he took us with him. Our sins are forgiven, our debt is paid, and our guilt is removed. What would we do without this freedom? Guilt is soul-crushing, my friends. People search for ways to numb themselves to it, sometimes turning to drastic measures. Guilt often comes with fear of others, discovering past sins. The unconfessed and unforgiven sinner spends much of his life looking over his shoulder, stricken with anxiety that he will be found out. In contrast, union with Christ makes us hold our heads high. Why should I live in shame? The worst things about me were crucified on the cross with Christ. And Paul writes in Galatians 2, verse 12,
I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The wrath and curse of God have come upon Christ in my place. I do not need to fear. I am forgiven. And you are forgiven, my friends. Do you see how the gospel informs our identity as believers? The grace received in Christ and makes the Christian humble and thankful. We are at peace since we know that our sins have been cast into the depths of the sea. Satan can't dredge them back up, though he may try. Paul reminds us in Romans 8:33, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Our pardon is part of who we are, and so we live in the freedom of being fully forgiven in Christ Jesus. Amen. Our third glorious truth. In Christ, I am a child of God. The Bible teaches us that we are adopted by God, sons and heirs. Galatians 3:26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. This adoption flows from our union to Christ. To be in the beloved Son makes us beloved sons as well. In an isolated and lonely age, such as our own now, the Christian has something that others are desperate for. You ever had someone come up to you and say, I want what you have. Why are you the way you are? And that is your opportunity to share the gospel of Christ. A place to belong. We have access to the Father's house and are brought into the family of faith. Isaac Watts, in a versification of Psalm 23, captured the blessing well. Speaking of our home in heaven, he wrote, There would I find a settled rest while others go and come. No more a stranger or a quest, but like a child at home. Our identity as children of God are nestled in innumerable privileges, my friends. We have access to God, a place to belong, an inheritance that is imperishable and undefiled, kept in heaven for us, and only good things from the hand of our Heavenly Father. Our fourth and final glorious truth. In Christ, I am made new. Finally, the Christian's true identity is one that belongs to a world that is yet to come. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. My friends, the Holy Spirit does a work in our lives of putting to death the old ways of sin and bringing life, the newness of righteousness. Ephesians 4:22 through 24, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind.
and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. My friends, the sin that remains does not get the final say. It is passing away along with the rest of this world. And in Christ, identity, therefore, keeps us from both despairing over persistent sin and indulging in it. As we close out our message, my brothers and sisters, we are new creations awaiting the new heavens and new earth, and our job is to live in the holiness and joy that will mark the coming world. That's your job. Our great aim in life must be to have our value, satisfaction, and sense of self found in Christ. Paul writes in Philippians 3, 9 through 10, "And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death." My brothers and sisters, my friends, we must pursue a deeper fellowship with Christ, one that fortifies us in the identity he gives us in the gospel. Sin makes that hard to do, and even lifelong Christians need the reminder that since God sees us in Christ, it's how we should see ourselves. Finding our identity in Christ is a lifelong process, but one well worth attaining, motivated best by the reality that Christ is not ashamed to identify with us. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Philippians 3, verse 12. My brothers and sisters, do not be afraid to lose everything in your quest to know Christ. Make knowing Christ your main goal in life. Spare no effort in pressing toward the mark of knowing Jesus Christ. Amen? Let us pray. Lord, we pray that you would unlock our hearts to be fully alive to our true identity in you. We thank you, Lord, for our uniqueness and that we were made in your image. Help us, Lord, to understand and feel the deep things in our hearts, in your heart. For us, Lord, may we choose to believe the truth about how you see us. And we thank you that we have hope in the future and believe in the good destiny that you have for us. Help us to live a fruitful life, Lord, now and overflow with love to others by sharing the gospel to a lost and dying world. Help us to know you on a deeper level, Lord, and protect us from anything that would hinder our relationship with you. And we thank you for this new identity, Lord, this identity that we have in you. And help us to live out this truth in our lives every
single day. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We will now have a sign of peace, followed by the communion devotional.